You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
And to clean up from the floods, I decided to speak to Dr. Lucy Telfer Barnard, who is a senior researcher fellow from the Department of Public Health. She talked to me today about the importance of maintaining dry homes and how to clean up from a flood.
My first advice would really be to remember that floodwater is not like a leak from the roof or from a laundry overflow or something like that, where that's generally fresh water or rainwater that's coming in. Floodwater you need to treat as though it's sewer water, because it will have sewage in it and potentially dead animals and so on. So that's kind of the first thing to be aware of. Don't go swimming in it. And you want to be treating it with a bit of caution when you're cleaning it up. So you want to be wearing gloves and making sure that you're using good detergent and so on. That's if you have to engage with it. If it has got into your house, then you need to treat those areas as though they have had sewage water in them. And that means that it really needs to be really thoroughly scrubbed if it's a surface that can be scrubbed. If it's something that's an absorbent material, then that will need to be disposed of. And that can include building materials like jib board and an MDF that kitchen cabinets are made of and so on. So those things really need to be replaced because they can't be effectively cleansed of that contaminated water.
So why is it important that people make sure their homes are dry?
It is hard to heat a home that's damp. And heating may be the last thing you're thinking about at this time of year, but as the weather cools down again, then that will be an issue. But also, importantly, and more fundamentally, when a home is damp, there is that high risk of mould growth. And mould is a known respiratory irritant. It can cause asthma where asthma has not been a problem before, and it can also trigger asthma for people who already have it. And it's just generally bad for your lungs to be breathing in mould spores, so best avoid it. Yeah, so that's really the main health risk from mould.
So I guess the biggest advice for people who have been affected by the floods is to really make sure that they clean up properly, isn't it?
Yes. To really clean up properly, and I'm going to guess that a lot of your listeners, being a student radio, will be students and will probably be renting, and the sorts of things that may be required to clean up after flood water has entered the home are probably going to be things that the landlord needs to be addressed. They'll be replacing carpets, they'll be replacing areas of gibboard and cabinetry and so on, and that's not something that a tenant can do. So the tenant does have to let the landlord know that the property has been damaged. There is a legal requirement there. As part of that conversation, you can then talk about how it's going to work in future. If the property is partially damaged, then maybe, and if you're finding it difficult finding somewhere else to go, as I imagine there's a fair bit of demand, then you can perhaps work out a rent reduction if it's possible to stay in place. But if you can't enter the home without passing through areas that are contaminated with that wastewater, then you do have an argument that the house is not able to be inhabited safely. And so that's where, if you want to give notice, then you can. If it's uninhabitable, you only have to give 2 days' notice and you don't have to pay rent anymore.
As we see more weather like this, what advice do you have for renters and homeowners about how to best secure their home against damp conditions?
With these sorts of things being really caused by climate change, which is not something that you can address on a kind of individual health basis except to the level that you do things to improve sustainability and conservation in a kind of a broad sense. You know, you can't stop the rain from falling, so it's a question of what can you do to make your home more resilient against the rain when it does come. So that's things like checking, seeing whether it's possible to maybe have some drains around the perimeter of the house so that Even if there's a kind of low-level ground flooding, that groundwater is less likely to come inside, but also less likely to go into that subfloor area. You want to be sure that the roof and the guttering are all in good condition. You will want to make sure that you are able to dry the house out effectively from minor levels of damp. So that's making sure that there's good ventilation options in terms of extractive fans in the bathroom and kitchen, that there are openable windows and so on. If you had a home that was particularly at risk, then you'd probably be thinking about what sorts of floor coverings you put down. And it's also, you know, a good reminder to have your emergency kit well stocked. So not just food and so on for earthquakes, but even in this situation, there'll be a lot of people who've been affected by at least short-term water outages, and so making sure that you've got a supply of drinking water to hand if you need it is really important too.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Really wanting to focus on being cautious as the rain potentially comes back again. Just a reminder again to stay out of the flood water. That's really the key thing that I would like people to take away. I know that it looks like it could be fun to say, but it's not worth catching cryptosporidium or campylobacter getting in that water. It's really not.
That was Dr. Lucy Telfar-Barnard speaking to me about keeping safe in the wake of the floods.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.